You're listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast, the number one place in the world to learn about Bitcoin. Open your first wallet, buy your first Satoshis, and get involved in the Bitcoin ecosystem that is changing the world as we know it. Satoshi Nakamoto, wherever you are, thank you for making all this possible. Now, let's get started.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with Bitcoin.com podcast. Today I've got a great guest, Stephen Pair, CEO and founder of BitPay.com. How you doing, Stephen?
Great. How you doing, Richard?
Good. Thanks so much for coming on again. Appreciate it. You know, we talked once before. Really enjoyed speaking to you, so looking forward to round two here. So, yeah, if you would, for Bitcoin.com listeners, can you let them know what you do in the space, what your company does?
Yeah, so BitPay is about a six-year-old company that makes us one of the oldest companies in the Bitcoin and blockchain space. We are a payment processor. So for any company that wants to accept Bitcoin as a form of payment, whether that's from a consumer customer of theirs or another business, we have tools that make it very easy for them to set that up and start accepting Bitcoin. We also do the opposite. We have a payouts product that, a company that wishes to do payroll or that needs to do disbursements to a large number of people around the world, they can use our platform to manage all of that.
When you say payroll, do you mean do payroll with fiat or payroll with Bitcoin?
In Bitcoin. So if an employee wants to get a portion of their net pay in Bitcoin, they would sign up for that, and let's say they wanted to get $100 a week of their net pay in Bitcoin. They would get $100 worth of Bitcoin each week, as part of their pay.
That's really cool. That's a great way to open up the market. If people getting paid in Bitcoin, then it becomes a lot more real for them. What are some of the reasons you've seen that people want to get paid in Bitcoin versus just fiat?
Well, it's funny. So we built that product for ourselves initially. So everybody here at BitPay gets at least part of their paycheck in Bitcoin. So we needed to manage that for ourselves. And we built that product for ourselves. And after we had built it, we said, well, we should just package this up and make it available as a service to any company that wanted to do the same thing, or a payroll company, or and then what we're also finding a big need for are marketplaces where it's a company that operates some type of marketplace where they want to be able to withdraw value off of the platform in the form of Bitcoin. So it's really one product serving about four different sort of vertical markets.
So what kind of reactions have you heard from people that get paid, partially or completely in Bitcoin? What do they say about it? Like, what's their experience?
Well, it's a great way to get Bitcoin. If you're getting $100 a week worth of Bitcoin and the price is higher, you get fewer Bitcoin. If the price is lower, you get more Bitcoin. So it's kind of a nice way to automatically dollar cost average obtaining Bitcoin. And just like any other currency showing up in your bank account, you have Bitcoin showing up in your wallet. And you can use those for transacting or savings. Whatever you need to. So it just makes it very easy. It's a lot easier than having to deal with setting up and linking bank accounts to exchanges or wiring money to exchanges.
But what about the people themselves? Do they think it's cool? Do they value their pay more because it's in Bitcoin? Like, have you heard any anecdotal evidence from people on how they feel about it?
Well, I think they love it. The people that want to obtain use Bitcoin are already interested in Bitcoin and tend to be enthusiasts about Bitcoin. And it's just a very easy, natural way to get Bitcoin, is to get paid for doing things.
And I guess the funny distinction is that someone's salary or hourly wage is in fiat, expressed that way, but paid in Bitcoin. Have you seen instances where someone is bold enough to pay someone a Bitcoin wage, saying, for instance, your wage is one Bitcoin a week, and sticking to that regardless of where the price goes?
That would be very risky for a business to do, right? So, right now, we haven't seen people pricing wages in Bitcoin yet, just because of the volatility of Bitcoin. You know, but for the
interesting, if it happens, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I think we're still a little ways away from that. But receiving your pay in Bitcoin is great because it's very easy to convert Bitcoin into some other asset. So, BitPay has our debit card. If you, you might get 100% of your net pay in Bitcoin, and then you can easily convert whatever portion of that into dollars that you need to spend and keep whatever you want to save in Bitcoin.
Okay, so let's talk about your debit card. So how does that work? Someone gets paid, let's say, 2 Bitcoin. They got this debit card. They go to a merchant. The merchant doesn't have to accept Bitcoin. They use the debit card, and the merchant, what, experiences it as fiat?
So it works just like any other, Visa debit card. And it's denominated in dollars. And so you convert Bitcoin whenever you want to into a dollar balance on that debit card. And so that means like today when Bitcoin is at all time highs, you might want to convert a couple Bitcoin over into dollars. And then now you have dollars on that debit card that you can immediately spend at any place that accepts Visa. You can spend it now, you can spend it next week, whenever.
Does the person holding the card have to convert it, or do they just use the card in the act of using it automatically convert it?
No, we chose to convert it to dollars for a number of different reasons. One reason is because of the tax implications. If every transaction that you spend is automatically converting Bitcoin at that moment of purchase, then those are potentially reportable transactions that you need to factor into capital gains and losses and so on. But so you can imagine if you use your card once a day, you might have 365 transactions to account for when you go to do your taxes. If you, on the other hand, convert some Bitcoin once a month, then you'll have 12 transactions to account for capital gains and losses. And then you can still do the 365, daily transactions using the Visa card. The other reason is if the price of Bitcoin rises to the degree that you want to sell some, you don't want to have to sell some by running around and buying stuff at merchants. It's much easier to just convert whatever you want to sell into dollars on the debit card, and then you can at your leisure go shop at whatever merchants you want to shop at.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, they're all valid reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of like a prepaid card.
It is a prepaid debit card. The other debit cards that draw down a Bitcoin balance, they're not using Bitcoin for the transaction. The merchant's not receiving Bitcoin. They're receiving dollars or euros or whatever the currency is. So it's not really a Bitcoin transaction. So pretending like it's a Bitcoin transaction is kind of silly, I think. And we viewed it from more of a convenience perspective, just having a very easy way to convert Bitcoins that you might have into a spendable dollar balance.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your main product. You said you allow merchants and individuals to accept Bitcoin payments. So what's some of the mechanics of it? How does that work?
Yeah, so a merchant can, or any business, it doesn't have to be a merchant, can come to our website, sign up for an account. And depending on how sophisticated their integration needs are, they could be up and running in as little as 5 minutes and put a button on their website that accepts Bitcoin for payment. And what BitPay does is when the shopper or the buyer wants to pay with Bitcoin, they'll click a button. That'll generate a BitPay, an invoice on BitPay's system. We're constantly monitoring exchange rates, and we determine how many Bitcoins need to be paid. The business can get settled each day in Bitcoin, but they also can get settled in dollars, euros, and about 10 other currencies. So if a business wants to collect $100, they can generate an invoice in our system for $100. We figure out how many Bitcoins the buyer has to send based on prevailing exchange rates. The buyer sends, if they send those Bitcoins within the specified window of time, which is 15 minutes, then we guarantee to the merchant that we'll settle $100 to them the next day to their bank account. So it's pretty simple. That was the primary product that BitPay, that was our first product that we built. And the idea was a very simple one, which was just to make it look to a business very similar to how they interact with credit card processors. A Bitcoin transaction is very different from a credit card transaction, but we built what you could think of as an adapter layer that made it work very similar to what they were used to when they talked to their credit card processors over an API. And and so BitPay's business model is really making it easy for companies to accept payment and safely accept payment. And those businesses don't typically tend to want to do their own Bitcoin acceptance, although we're happy to see companies doing it themselves. Usually a business, when they on the payment side of their operations, they're usually outsourcing payments to some company to manage those payments. They do that whether it's a Visa or MasterCard payment or whether it's a Bitcoin payment or something else. They don't, and that allows them to focus on their core competency.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the easier you make it for someone to do something new and different, the more likely they are to do it. So that makes sense. So what kind of merchants or individuals do you see are attracted to accepting Bitcoin? Which ones are difficult to get on board? Any industry-specific behaviors?
Well, we have a broad range of industries represented. We tend to, we have a lot of traction with e-commerce companies that are doing a lot of international payments. Some companies will only accept Bitcoin for their international payments, and that's because the risk of fraud with a credit card, an international credit card transaction, is much higher. So a lot of e-commerce companies, a lot of companies that are selling products that are have a good overlap with the typical person that's interested in Bitcoin. So that would be people that are tech savvy, tend to be young. So we have some companies that sell different kinds of computer equipment and such technology products. We have a lot of web hosting type companies. And then a lot of those are doing actually B2B transactions. So it's a company that's selling web hosting, but they're selling it to, say, a business in Africa that needs web hosting. And they find it very convenient to pay with Bitcoin, more convenient to pay with Bitcoin than other methods of payment. So that's on the sort of business and merchant side. A few years ago, it was a lot of small mom-and-pop type businesses. Then we got customers like Newegg and Microsoft and bigger enterprises signing up to do payment acceptance. Now those companies are starting to look at us more for our billing tool and B2B supply chain payments. So we're seeing bigger companies interested in using our platform for moving very large dollar values from a subsidiary to another subsidiary, or from one of their business customers overseas back to their headquarters. So we're seeing a huge growth this year in just our B2B supply chain type payments.
All right, we'll get into that in a second. A couple questions about the main product. Is there such a thing as chargebacks? What if a customer says, I don't like the product I bought or it didn't work, I want my money back? How do you handle that?
There are no chargebacks on our platform. It's like a cash payment, and we tell the merchant and the buyer it's like a cash payment. So if you have a dispute and you want the money back, you've got to ask the merchant to get that money back. So for that reason, we do try to scrutinize the businesses that use our platform pretty well. Once they get to higher levels of processing, we want to make sure that we know who they are. A good way to mitigate the risk of fraud is to actually know who our customers are. So that's what we do. We don't want businesses signing up for BitPay and then defrauding their customers if we can avoid it. But it is different than a PayPal or MasterCard or Visa, where BitPay tries very hard not to get involved in those kind of disputes.
Well, traditional merchant accounts, I know, are viewed as loans and as risky. to the merchant, but since you guys don't have a chargeback feature, I would think that it's easier for you to work with merchants and there's less hurdles they have to overcome to have an account with you.
Is that accurate? We also position ourselves with a lot of businesses that we position them ourselves as a rest of world solution. So they might have their payment mechanism for the US and Europe and a few other countries. But they're not going to go out there and take the time to sign up for 200 different payment methods to cover the entire planet. And where we can come in is we can say, well, you might not want to set up payments for a few countries where you have a very small amount of potential customers in the middle of Africa. But if you sign up BitPay, you can accept a payment from anybody anywhere on Earth as long as they have internet access. And that tends to be a good a selling point that resonates with a lot of companies. And we've seen a few examples where companies signed up thinking that they were going to be able to solve a payment issue in one country, only to find out that once they're on BitPay, they now have, 2 to 3 or 4% more net new customers coming from other parts of the planet that they never even thought about, which is pretty.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Since you see a lot of data other people don't, what are some unusual things that you see, certain countries that are surprised with so much purchasing coming from? What do you see that's unusual?
Unusual and interesting. I think we've been a little surprised that the banking systems in a lot of countries and the central banks in a lot of countries aren't as resistant to the idea of Bitcoin as we thought they would be. We thought they would view it as a competitor and want to, wouldn't be very thrilled about the idea of having a competitor. But what we found out is that, yes, Bitcoin is a competitor, perhaps to their domestic currency and their domestic payment system, but so are a lot of other currencies and a lot of other payment systems. And so it's nothing really new to them. And on top of that, our payment platform is more cost effective, it's faster, and taxes can be paid, and it's all stuff that's visible, is not hidden from view of regulators and government officials in these different countries. So I think that in a lot of countries in South America and Africa, they've been more receptive than people might think to this technology.
Any countries that are the opposite? You thought they'd be receptive, and they're not?
Nothing that BitPay has any direct specific knowledge about that isn't already reported on. You hear the stories about Venezuela kind of cracking down on Bitcoin mining and whatnot. We don't have any unique window into what's going on there than anybody else does.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to see if you saw anything unusual. Let's talk about the last use case that you mentioned, B2B payments. So can you just go over that again? Larger companies that want to move large dollar amounts, how are they specifically using your platform?
Yeah, so a lot of our merchant, our payments, payment acceptance usage was actually B2B. We found we had companies signing up as a merchant on our payment acceptance product. And what they were selling to was not consumers, but actually other businesses. And the businesses tend to, if they can save money and improve efficiency, they tend to accept a steeper learning curve than the average individual or consumer. And it reminds me a lot about email adoption. In the 1980s, when I got my first email account, I was excited. I told everybody this is the way everybody's going to communicate in the future. But nobody else I knew had an email address. it eventually happened. And I was an early adopter of email, but I couldn't actually communicate with a lot of people over email for a good number of years. And actually, it was businesses that started using email. So you had the early adopter individuals, then you had businesses come in and actually start really using email. And then only after that did you have the sort of mass consumers, mass individual, average individual, start adopting the technology. But businesses tend to adopt stuff like that sooner because they have the means to overcome and the incentive to overcome learning curves or software that isn't quite as easy to use as it could be. And so that's what we're finding with our customer base. So we're getting a lot of traction in these B2B use cases. It's not necessarily very large customers, although we do have a number of Fortune 500 companies that are now coming to us almost on a pretty regular basis. And they do want to move large dollar volumes. And, in some cases, they want to move millions of dollars per day over our platform. But the way it works is, you know, you have, if it's the same business moving money between subsidiaries, they have that one subsidiary buying Bitcoin in one country, paying an invoice through BitPay, and then we're selling those Bitcoin on their behalf and then converting that into their local currency that they want on the receiving end. I think this particular use case, this supply chain use case, is a very powerful one, because if BitPay signs up a customer that wants to move money from, let's say, Brazil to Germany, the price of Bitcoin in Brazil is going to rise, and the price of Bitcoin in Germany is going to fall. And eventually they're going to move enough, and they're going to distort the market enough that they eliminate the price advantage or the cost savings that they have. It's going to be as expensive to move it over Bitcoin as it is some other means of moving that money. But imagine you have another company that wants to buy products from Brazil, and they find out, well, if they use Bitcoin, because the price of Bitcoin is higher in Brazil, they can get a nice discount. So then you'll have companies step in and be incentivized to use Bitcoin to buy things from suppliers in Brazil, and they counter the other flow. And so the market deepens, and now all of a sudden that first company can move a little bit more and still save money. And the cool thing about it is one of those companies could be a BitPay customer, and another one of those companies could be a BitPay competitor. But we both help each other. The more business we do and the more business they do, it deepens the markets. And even though we're competitors, we're actually helping each other's businesses grow.
Yeah, that's cool. You're increasing market liquidity and reducing price differences across countries, et cetera. That's great. Mm-hmm. Last two questions. So since you've been an early adopter on many technologies, I don't know if it's giving you particular insight, but what's it going to take in your mind for Bitcoin to become much more widespread and accepted everywhere?
I think, well, first of all, we have to tackle the scalability challenges. That's a hot topic today. You know, we're bumping up against transaction limits on a daily basis. Fees are rising dramatically. So one way or another, that has to be dealt with. Even Bitcoin as a sort of large corporate transaction network, like we're seeing it sort of evolve right now, even Bitcoin in that use case, that sort of settlement use case, it needs to handle many, you know, probably a couple orders of magnitude more transactions on chain than it can do today to be really successful in that. At BitPay, we've always known since 2011, we've always known eventually we're going to have to tackle this sort of scalability challenge. We recognize that it's very unlikely that the average person will do all of their transactions on the blockchain. You'll need some kind of other layers on top of the blockchain to make it all work. But even as a settlement mechanism, it's probably at least two orders of magnitude more transaction volume that needs to go on the chain just for it to work as a settlement layer. And then for your everyday payments, you might use the Lightning Network or something else. So I think the scalability issue has to be overcome. I'll put it that way. I think market forces and economics will make that happen. I'm very optimistic that the scalability challenge will be overcome. It'll be overcome with layering technology. It will also be overcome with more volume on the network, on the blockchain. And market forces and economics will overcome any kind of ideological positions that people have. So we're very confident that all of that will be dealt with. So, but it does have to be dealt with. So that has to happen.
Yeah.
The second thing is the technology just needs to become more accessible and easier to use. So things like dealing with raw Bitcoin addresses, we need to figure out standardized ways to get away from these, unfriendly looking addresses. We just need to make the whole platform more approachable. And a lot of companies, including BitPay, are working on that every day. A big emphasis in when we launched the BitPay wallet in October was to make it the best, simplest, and easiest to use and user-friendly wallet out there. And I think we accomplished that, and we're continuing to iterate on that and make it even better.
And then last question I have for you. What exciting is going on this year that you maybe can't talk about but you could hint at? Or what's the most exciting things you see coming in 2017 for Bitcoin?
If I can't talk about it, I don't even want to hint at it. I think a lot of people don't appreciate that BitPay, we've been around 6 years. We know this technology as well as anybody on the planet. And we do a lot of fundamental research here at BitPay and a lot of thinking about how to solve some of these big technical challenges. I myself am a computer scientist. I started writing code at 7 or 8 years old. And I got interested in the technology primarily because of the technology. And, I was a big fan of DigiCash many years ago. So we're doing a lot of things that we're excited about, trying to tackle this scalability problem in a way that I don't think a lot of people has occurred to a lot of people, or maybe nobody. So maybe as a little bit of a hint, I think we might do some interesting things in the direction of scalability that maybe hasn't been contemplated before, that I think might be very exciting. I will say if you told me in 2011 that we would be sitting here in 2017 and we hadn't bumped up this block size, I would have said there's no way that could happen. So we always knew we were going to hit these scalability challenges at some point. We just thought we had a little more runway. So the fact that the block size hasn't been increased, or we don't have as much transaction throughput, and we're bumping up against these limits right now in 2017, has pushed that right to the top of the priority stack for us as a company.
Right, I think so. Yeah. All right, well, very good. How can merchants, businesses, individuals, et cetera, best engage with BitPay, learn more about it, get the wallet, start using the service, et cetera?
Well, BitPay.com is a great place to start. If you're an individual, I would go look for BitPay in the app stores and install the app and start playing around with it.
Very good, Stephen. Thanks for your time. It's been a good interview, and appreciate all the work you guys are doing out there.
Okay, Richard. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast. Visit Bitcoin.com today, the number one place in the world to learn about Bitcoin, open your first wallet, buy your first Satoshis, and get involved in the Bitcoin ecosystem that is changing the world as we know it.